We found it's necessary to receive some spiritual help. I've often quoted the scripture from 1 Corinthians where Paul writes to the church about the help that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Help that enables us to hear what God is speaking, what He is revealing to us. And so I make no apology this morning for repeating myself as we again read those words of encouragement from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Paul wrote, as he spoke to the church at Corinth, "We have received the Spirit." We have received the Spirit, and he says it's from God. He goes on and says that the natural man cannot receive that revelation. Natural man doesn't understand. The flesh doesn't comprehend the things that the Spirit of God is speaking or teaching or revealing. Only the Spirit of God within us can. He tells us as believers, we have received that Spirit. We've received the Spirit who is able to reveal, who's able to pull back the curtains and allow us to see the things that He's prepared for us. As believers, we have received the Spirit that's from God. Last week, we looked at the words of Jesus found in John's Gospel that speak to us concerning rivers that flow out of the heart. In John chapter 7, we'll read it again, John 7, verses 37 and 38. We read, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" You know, as we read that, and we talked about at length last week, the promise. A help that we receive from the Spirit is something that we can't produce in ourselves. There are churches today that are full of quote-unquote believers. People who would tell you that, yes, I have received a salvation experience. I have been born again. Churches are full of people like that. And yet you look at their life, and what's flowing out is not necessarily what they say is on the inside. I believe it's the Apostle James who wrote that out of the same well, you don't get sweet water and bitter. You don't get clean and dirty out of the same well. Out of a life that has been radically changed, radically transformed, radically renewed, life that's been given, that comes from the throne of God, birthed in the heavens, sustained by the Spirit, that life should not have two opposing forces coming out as evidence. And yet we have Christians who confess the name of Jesus Christ, who consider themselves part of the church, waiting and longing for, at least with their own declarations, waiting for the time when Jesus returns again for His church. And yet, you look at the lives of these men, women, boys, girls, and what you see coming out of their life, what's flowing out of them, you say, how can that be the Spirit of God? They try. Anybody been in those churches where you know people were really trying? Say, yes, I know a lot of churches where people are really trying. You'll get that later. But people are really making an attempt. From the outside, they are putting on a righteousness. From the outside, they are putting on good works and good deeds, at least to make an appearance before the rest of the body, before the church congregation, those that are like believers, so they say. And yet, once they are taken out of that setting, out of the church, out of the religion, out of the atmosphere, if you will, and placed into the regular world, the everyday here and now, what is going on Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday world, the water that's flowing out of that heart, the water that's coming from the inside and flowing out, is not the water that you would expect from the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the flesh cannot produce the things of the Spirit. The flesh cannot produce the things of the Spirit. The flesh doesn't even understand the things of the Spirit. The flesh can't hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The flesh can't see the things that the Spirit of God is revealing. As Paul wrote, the natural man doesn't receive these things, for they are spiritually discerned. For any man or woman or boy or girl, young or old, rich or poor, regardless of background, regardless of race or denomination or creed or culture, any of those things, the only way that we comprehend what the Spirit is saying is to have the Spirit's help. Without the Spirit's help, we're lost. Without the Spirit's help, we're blind. Without the Spirit's help, we cannot see or hear or even entertain the depths of the thought that God is trying to reveal to us. We need help. Say to your neighbor, you need help. Some of you got way too much joy out of that. You are enjoying that way too much. But now everybody hold up your spiritual mirror and talk to it. You need help. Because without the Spirit of God, we can't receive anything that He's revealing. Nothing that He's saying penetrates the natural man without the aid of the Spirit of God. Jesus states a promise concerning those who truly believe, saying, "He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And as we saw last week, these words were based on the promise of the Holy Spirit that would be given. He followed that thought in verse 39. John 7:39 says, "But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." As the Lord Jesus Himself was talking among a group of people, speaking to a vast multitude. There were some there who heard His words. They penetrated the ear. They could have even repeated verbatim, word for word, exactly what He said. And yet they didn't hear. Because the words that He spoke were spirit and they were life. But those that are void of the Spirit do not receive the things of the Spirit. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit. Yet not everyone heard. And not everyone who heard with their natural ears would receive. It was a statement made concerning those who would believe. And believe is one of those words in the English language that has lost some of its original thrust. With the metamorphosis that's taken place over the course of several generations now, the word has become such that it's only a mental agreement. Somebody states a fact, you look at the fact, and with your cognitive abilities, with your mind, your thinking, your thought processes, you say, I agree with that. That's a believe statement in modern usage. But it wasn't a belief statement in ancient history. There are some languages still today that the word for believe and the word for act are almost identical. And if you don't act upon what you believe, then you haven't believed it. Same was true with the Greek and the Hebrew texts of Scripture. To clarify the system of belief that the Bible teaches, it's necessary to take the context of other things that Jesus spoke to get a firm understanding of what He actually meant. He said that those who believe would receive. But in another place, He said that He would pray for those who obeyed. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus said, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray specifically this, that the Father would give you another helper. All this time, and Jesus is getting prepared to go back to the Father. He's preparing for the day when He's going to be taken away. They are going to be left behind. And no, this is not the Left Behind series. But He's leaving, and they will still be here. But He prepares them and says, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask the Father to give you another helper. A helper that will abide with us forever. But notice the prerequisite that He gave. This asking the Father for another helper, follow the thought, if you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper. If you love Me, keep My commandments, and. Did everybody see that and? That and is a connection word. It's always a connection word. Anything that follows after the and means it's following out of the previous thought. Always. I think it even still works that way in modern English. It might not forever, because the language changes. But it still means the same thing. When you say and, it's following a previous thought. You don't start a sentence with and. It's improper English. And I even learned that much. I hated English. That was the one course that I had to cheat quite frequently to pass. As I was becoming really studious and looked like I was really getting into it, I was going, what are they writing down so I can copy it? Okay, confessions of a pastor. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. I didn't get English because when you wrote it down, it didn't come out the way I talked. And I knew that because I learned this and I spoke that way all my life, that it must be right. Therefore, when people wrote in other ways than what I talked, they were wrong. But I did learn this one thing after being corrected on every paper I ever wrote. You do not start a sentence with "and." You put a comma at the end of the last part, remove that period, and then you say "and," or something like that. And that's probably wrong too. But don't correct me because it makes me mad. "And" means that whatever you're about to say is following in conjunction with what you've just said. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray for you." If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray for you. He goes on and indicates exactly who and what he's praying about. He's praying to the Father that he would give you the Holy Spirit, another helper. The Spirit of truth, it said in Scripture. He will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. Bear in mind, he's talking to a large group. Yes, the disciples are there. Yes, all of those who would be named apostles were there. But they weren't the only ones who were there. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. He'll give you another helper who the world cannot receive." That's a similar thought to what we saw last week. Jesus told the Pharisees and chief priests that he was going away. That they would look for him, but they wouldn't find him. He said, "And where I'm going, you can't come." He says to the disciples, "I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. But the world can't receive him." The world doesn't see him. They can't know him. But you know him. Because he will dwell with you. And will be in you. The world doesn't see him or know him. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. But he says that you will. Who's the you? The ones who love him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, helper, counselor, whatever version you got. The world can't receive him. Because the world doesn't love him. B. because they keep not his commandments. He says, but you'll know him because he dwells with you. The ones that have loved him and kept his commandments, he said, I'll pray, you'll receive. You'll know him. He'll dwell with you. And he'll be in you. How many totally disobedient, spirit-filled people do you know? I'm not talking about slipping and sliding and making mistakes. I'm talking about turn your back, walk away, disobedient. God says one thing and they say, no, I'm going to do my thing. How many of them do you know that are really spirit-filled? They might be filled with some spirit. I've seen them. They prophesy a good prophecy. Everything you want, they include it. Yea, verily, thus saith the Lord. What is it you want again? Well, you'll have it, brother. It never comes to pass. People pay good money for those. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray. Father's going to give you something. You will receive it. But the world won't receive it. They can't see him. They can't know him. But you will. Because you've loved me and you've kept my commandments, I have a promise for you. I'm asking the Father that he would give to you. He dwells with you, signifying he's going to take up residence. He will be in you. You will become his physical address. How much more help do we need than that? We've confessed. We constantly need help. We've tried to do the right things. We've tried to walk with God. We've tried to live for God. How many of you tried that before you got saved? I'm the only one. I went to church. I knew what all was on that checklist you had to fill out in Sunday school. Bible brought, check. Bible read daily, half a check. Offering given, 25 cents, check. Yeah, some of you guys got one of those, didn't you? Sunday school, you got one of those things you checked off so that the church secretary could keep records. I knew what you were supposed to do to be a good Christian. Church member in good standing. The more checks you had, the better you was. So if you had to lie on a few of them, just check them anyway, because everybody... huh. That only worked for Sunday morning. It only worked on Sunday during the hours of 10:30 to 12. If the preacher went past 12, you were released from your obligations. You no longer had to be super Christian. You could start looking at your watch and yawning. Because you need help. We needed help. We couldn't do it. It wouldn't even go throughout Sunday morning service when we tried to put it on from the outside and do it ourselves. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit that you can ever live a life pleasing to God. Only with His help. Jesus said, I'll pray that you'll receive another helper. He'll dwell with you and will be in you. What more do we need? The only other thing we need is to submit. And He isn't coming to be a silent partner. I've heard people describe their experience with the Holy Spirit. It all is related to and tied into some emotional service that happened in 1953. Their lives are a mess. Their family's a shambles. They go to church and leave cussing. But they got the Holy Ghost. They know when it's time to dance, when it's time to shandai. They know all the different parts and where they belong. But they're not living the life. And you ask them and they talk like the Holy Spirit's there and they know it because one day in 1953 at a great revival and everybody was laying on the floor, they shandied once. He doesn't talk anymore. That's all they needed. Shandai, shandai. Who tied my bow tie? Who stole my Hyundai? You got it, brother. Don't ever doubt it. That's the Holy Ghost. And He's been silent ever since. But He doesn't come to be a silent partner. The world can't see Him. The world can't hear Him. But He isn't just there for a backup. He's not just in your life so when you're going through a crisis, you can shundai again. Oh Lord, the world's falling apart. I'm good now. But He's treated that way. You're just there when I need you. You're just there when I can't handle anything. He never came to be on your terms when you want to turn Him on and when you want to turn Him off. He came to be in control. He came to be the helper just like Jesus was. There are Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, 8 a.m., noon, whenever during the day. Not as a silent partner, but as the God who's in control. He isn't sent to be like the computer program that works unseen in the background, checking for those little virus demons things. And you can just keep working. He wants to speak. In John chapter 16, Jesus said He's going to be a vocal partner. In John 16, 12, He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He's coming and He's going to speak. He will show you things to come. He's not just going to talk to be talking. He's not coming with the stock market quotes so you can be rich. He's not coming to give you the lottery numbers. But whatever He hears, whatever the Lord is saying, that will He speak. And it says He will lead you into how much truth? All truth. All truth. Does that mean that you're going to get it all today? I'm looking at what he's got to work with, and you couldn't handle it all today. No offense. I'm sure the pastoral search committee's meeting after church. Did he say that? We can't handle it all at once, but he said he would lead us into all truth. All truth, the last time I checked, still means all truth. Not half truth. Not some of the truth. But he would lead us into all truth. I don't even know where I'm at. Jesus, in preparing his closest disciples for his soon coming departure, says, I've still got a lot of things to say to you. He's been with them now for 3 years. Where he went, they went. Where he stopped, they stopped. Where he ate and what he ate, they ate. When and whatever. Wherever he stopped to lay his head, that's where they were. When he was out in ministry, they were there. When he went up the mountain, well, they were sleeping. But for 3.5 years, he'd been with them, revealing the Father. And after that time, the 24/7 a discipleship program. He says, you haven't learned it all. I still have a lot of things to say to you. He says, but you're not ready. You can't bear it now. You need a whole lot more training. We're not done with the lessons. But you're not ready. You're not prepared for all I need to say to you. I still got a lot to say, but you can't handle it right now. However, or in this version, which I accidentally pulled the wrong one off of the web. How be it? However, everybody say however. However. I've got more to tell you, but you're not ready. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. I've got more to tell you. I've got more to say. You need to hear more. You need to learn more. There's so many more lessons. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. However, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Not all at once. Jesus said that they still had much to learn. I've still got a lot to say to you, he said. But he knew that they couldn't even bear what he needed to reveal. It was too much for them all at once. I'm so glad that God didn't tell me what life was going to hold in store the day I said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I would have probably said, well, Lord, let me think about it overnight. Lord, let me pray about it a little more. Because I didn't know that everything in my life would change. I didn't know everything I knew and was comfortable with, he wanted me to give up. I just know knew I wanted a Savior. I just knew that for the first time in my life, I felt life. And I was surrendering to that. He didn't tell me the day that He called me to preach how long I would have to wait. I just thought, well, I'm called, I'll start. Sounds good to me. If you called, you must have meant it. I didn't know that I would have to do the next few years in the same rinky-dink little church with people who weren't even believers. I didn't know that I would have to be a missions pastor who wanted to preach and never got an opportunity. I didn't know that I would finally get my day, that I would become a senior pastor of that same little podunk church. And I would stand and preach to them and they would yawn. And I would share from the depths of my heart the zeal and the very heart that God had given me, and they wouldn't want it. I never knew those things. I wouldn't have accepted the call. I wouldn't have thought it would be worth it. I didn't know the day that I resigned from my first church that He would make me wait 4 years. I didn't know that included going to school. I didn't know it included Calvary Commission. I didn't know it involved the dump run. Or digging ditches. Or any of those things. I didn't know I would preach 6 years believing God the whole time for a breakthrough that 6 years I still haven't seen. And if I had asked that day, Lord, show me everything I'm about to go through, I probably wouldn't have been able to take it. I would have probably said, Lord, let me just go back to business. Because it's what I knew. It's what I was comfortable with. It's what I was trained for. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will lead you, He will guide you, He will take you into all truth. You can't bear it now, but He has it ready for you when you're ready for it. I'm afraid to ask Him some of the things my future still holds. I've been asking really hard for what I want it to hold. But I haven't had the confidence to go to Him and ask Him for what it does hold. Because I'm not sure I'm still, I really don't think I'm still ready to know too far into the future. But I know one thing, that every time I've come to a bridge that I didn't know what to do when I got there, He told me either to go across it or wait. Every time I came to a place where I wasn't sure whether to turn right or left, as I waited, He would give me revelation of which way to go. Every time my life was uncertain and I didn't know the next step to take, He'd show me truth. Because He's the Spirit of truth. I've got a lot more to tell you, but you're not ready. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. What's Jesus saying to them? What's He saying? He's saying, the Spirit still speaks. The Spirit still speaks. He causes you to hear. The world can't receive from Him, but you can if you love Me. and keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper. The world won't know Him. They can't see Him. They can't hear Him. But you'll know Him. You will know Him because He dwells with you and will be in you. He will guide you into all truth. All truth. We can't handle that truth all at once. But He'll lead you into truth on the day that you need that truth. He'll give you the truth you need for that day. You're not into tomorrow's address zip code yet. But you're in today's zip code. And today, He will lead you into the truth you need for today. And if He's planning to do something tomorrow and you need to be prepared for it, He will give you a plan to be prepared for it tomorrow. But He won't give it to you until you're needing it. Until He's ready to prepare you. Until you're ready to receive the preparation. But He'll still lead you into all truth. The same Spirit of truth that Jesus promised to the church that He was leaving behind is still the Spirit of truth that will lead us and to guide us into all truth that we need. It's the same Spirit of truth. And right now there's something stirring in the heart of God. There's a spiritual stirring that seems, from my perspective, to be increasing day after day. I can be busy just like anybody else can. I can sometimes be busier than anybody else can. You can look at me and think I'm doing nothing. I'm not busy with physical labors, but all day long my mind is going. It's looking to the next thing, listening for the next revelation, looking for what God's doing, what does He want to say. And I'm stirring and busy every day. And I will come in here quite often from time to time. Nobody's here. I just turn on one light just so I won't trip over the chairs. And I come in here to pray, and sometimes I'm so busy, it's a difficulty for me to get into prayer. Because there are so many things stirring, so many voices yelling at me, screaming at me, you've got to do this, you need to do that, next comes this, next comes that, and I will try to pray, and I'll get on my knees, or I'll lay down on the floor, and I'll say, Lord, talk to me, and all the voices, and I say, I'm getting nowhere, and I get up and walk away. But lately, every time I get up and walk away because I'm not getting anywhere, I won't even get to the steps, and God's pulling me back again. Day after day, He's pulling me back again. And I'll pray, and I'll say everything I know to say, and I'm done. And I'll start walking away, and He pulls me back again. There's something stirring in the heart of God. He wants to bring revelation. He wants our eyes to be open. He wants our ears to hear. But we only hear, first of all, when we're walking in the Spirit. Second of all, when we're submitted and listening. It's okay if you've tried to pray and you haven't broke through. I struggle there. But it's not okay to just walk away. Because the Lord's drawing you back. The Lord's saying, I've got something I want to reveal. Tarry! Can you imagine what the apostles were going through? They had watched Jesus received up in the clouds on the mountain. He said, wait! Tarry ye in the city. Wait! Because I'm about to send the promise of the Father. And according to my calculations, that was about 10 days waiting. 10 days in prayer. 10 days in the upper room with a bunch of people who didn't know anything more than you knew. People who didn't know what to expect. It had never happened before. The Lord had been taken away. All they had was a promise. Tarry and wait until you be endued with power. And it says that they were there on that day. It was about 10 days later. It says the Lord Jesus, after His resurrection, was with them for about 40 days. Pentecost was 50 days. Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. So from 40 to 50, there's about 10 days that they were in that waiting process. Do you know how fast your mind can run for 10 days with nothing to do? You know how fast it can run with 10 minutes with nothing to do. 10 days waiting on something they don't even know what they're waiting on. But they were there. Looking for a breakthrough. Looking for something that they weren't even sure what they were looking for, but God had promised. But when it came, what a difference. When it came, what a difference. And there's something stirring in the heart of God for today. And it's increasing. It's increasing. And He's pulling His church again, drawing them again. And He's saying, wait. It's not the same thing as quit. But wait. Tarry in My presence. Wait in My presence. Something in the heart of God that is ready to be revealed to this generation. Ready to be revealed to this group of people, this body of believers. God's stirring. There's something that's being prepared. A preparation for things to come shortly. But the church, me included, has been too oblivious to hear His voice. We've been wrapped up, caught up in things, busy things, schedules, workloads, things that we know we've got to get done. We've been so busy with those that we haven't been training our ear to hear from Him. Yeah, we've read the words. Anybody ever try to read through the Bible in a year and you know you've got to read 3 chapters every day and 5 on Sundays? And they've got it planned. Try to get through the Bible in 365. There was one year I was going to make it through twice, so I doubled those chapters. I would say, yes, I got my 7 chapters read today. I'm good. Then I would set my Bible down and go, now, what did I just read? And I couldn't remember anything. But I read them. Sometimes I would even read out loud to myself. That would keep me from falling asleep. And I heard the words with natural ears, but nothing penetrated. And sometimes we do the same thing when the Spirit of God is speaking to us. We don't hear what He's saying. It's not His fault. He said, if you love Me, You'll keep my commandments and I'll pray. And you'll receive all the help you'll ever need. When He's come, He'll lead you into all truth. But you've got to hear. You've got to be willing. Sometimes we think we've received an understanding, but the urgency of the moment has been missed. We read through the Bible to the back of the book. We understood, we thought, the signs of His coming. Yes, we see all of the things taking place He spoke of. We read them back in Matthew 24. We know that it's getting near. We know the time's approaching. We're in the last days. But what we missed is the role of the believers to usher in the completion. We missed the part that we have to play. Yes, He's coming again. Yes, the signs are showing. Day by day we see more and more. But in between those pages, He wrote about the believers. He wrote about the church. He wrote about where they would be, what they would be doing, what they would look like. They're overcomers. They're a pure and spotless bride. They're doing the works that He did and greater than these. Those words are in there before He comes again. We're just looking at the signs. But part of the signs involves the church. It involves you. It involves me. And if the church hasn't fulfilled its part of the plan, it doesn't matter how many wars or rumors of wars, how many earthquakes or famines or pestilence. Because of the church, that part is still missing. That part is still lacking. Jesus said, all of these will be fulfilled. It means there will rise up a church. It may not be glamorous. Probably won't have a huge building with a steeple or a cross on top of it. But there will be a real church who stands to declare His words, even if it costs them their lives. Even if they're mutilated, even if they're martyred for it, they will still be a glorious church. And they will be the bride He comes back for. He won't come back. I've said it before. He's not coming back for an ugly bride. He ain't coming back for an ugly bride. Well, there's wars and there's rumors of war and there's earthquakes and tornadoes and tsunamis. And yeah, all those things are going to take place. But it also says He's coming back for a glorious bride. And if the bride ain't glorious, everything has not been fulfilled. Even now, since the Spirit is saying, I have much to say to you. Have much to say to you. I'm ready to unveil my masterpiece. But it will not take place apart from my bride being made ready. And the bride will not be made ready as a result of the passage of time. Oh, we're in the 21st century now, surely. It's not time He's waiting on. It's the bride He's waiting on. And it will be a result of hearing what the Spirit is saying and acting on it. God hasn't been hiding this truth. It didn't even begin at Pentecost. It's always been part of His plan to pour out His Spirit and to make His heart known. Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, is credited with writing the book of Proverbs. And in the very first chapter of the book, he wrote those words that are on the inside cover of your bulletin this morning. return at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Who's he speaking to? Well, he was writing to a rebellious house. Yeah, he was talking to them. I believe he's just as clearly talking to this generation and just as clearly talking to this congregation. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. He's dealing with sin, and you read further in that chapter, he says, because you won't hear, there's coming a day when you'll cry out and I won't answer. There's a day when you'll ask and I won't even hear. But he said, if you'll turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit and I will make my word known to you. Turn at my rebuke. It implies he's rebuking them for sin. And I'll grant that clarity, but I believe he's also talking about anything that we're trusting in. We get into a crisis. Anybody ever had one? How many times do we get in the midst of a crisis and we turn to everything else? But in the midst of crisis, I believe he's saying, turn to me, and I'll pour out my spirit, and I'll make my words known. We come up to the foot of the mountain, and the mountain is huge, and it's too steep to climb, and it's too big to go around. And we look at the mountain and become discouraged, disheartened, maybe even depressed. We turn to our pity party. We turn to any other excuse. And he's saying, turn at my rebuke, and surely I'll pour out my spirit on you, and I'll make my words known. And that word is what you need for the mountain. And that word is what you need for the crisis. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit. Surely I will make my word known. In the midst of our, just those times where we're going through doubt, I have them too. Those times when we're so confused, I don't know what to do next. He says, turn at my rebuke. He's rebuked me lately. I've told God about the mountain, how big it was. Told God about the storm. God, it's a violent storm. I've told him about the confusion. He rebukes me. Then he asked me, what did I tell you? What did I say to you? And I come back to the floor again. And I come back to the floor again and again and again. I I wonder sometimes how many times I can get so far off, and yet He welcomes me back. How many times I can be in utter confusion and my life in disarray, and He welcomes me back, calls me back, puts me on my knees, and then He reveals Himself. And He gives me a word to hope in. He gives me a revelation that I can trust. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but the Lord hadn't hidden through yet, so He's speaking to somebody. He's saying, some of you have been there, and you've got frequent flyer miles. He says, turn at my rebuke. He's saying, turn back to me, and surely I will pour out my spirit, and I will make my word known to you. Because He's a God who still speaks. Some of you need to hear His voice. Because whatever you're going through, wherever you're at, whatever you're in, flesh isn't going to cut it. We all know the mess that flesh gets us in. We all know it. Whatever stirring in the Spirit right now, whatever God is doing, whatever He's getting ready to reveal, He's going to reveal it to a church who turns to Him. A church that He's pouring out His Spirit on. Believers, He's pouring out His Spirit in. Who are going to hear His voice. Who are going to be led into all truth. And I'm believing God, it's this church. I'm believing God, it's you. And praise God, it's going to be me. Because I'm not accepting anything less. I've always been one of those individuals that I'm as hard on myself as anybody else. I'm not accepting less from me. If you think I expect a lot of you, know that I expect the same thing from me. This morning, I believe some of you are hearing the voice of God. And He's speaking to you, and He's drawing you. And He's saying, I have something I want to reveal, because I have a job for you. I've got the course of your life laid out. And there are some things that you don't understand, that you don't know. But it's okay. I'm about to lead you into all truth. But it starts with Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father. He's about to give you the spiritual help that's going to cause you to walk where you can't walk alone. It starts with a relationship with Him. You can't come to Him without believing that He is. Scripture tells us He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He'll reward you not just with a conversation. He'll reward you with life. And if you've never had life, He wants you to have it this morning. He wants to give it to you. And He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you've done, how you failed. The cross covered it. For those who believe. Not a mental assent, but a belief that has actions behind it. This morning I'm going to ask us to stand together. I'm going to pray. The altar's open. God wants to do something this morning. I sense it because I came in here almost empty this morning. He has a word for somebody. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we come, Lord, we don't even know what's next. Father, at times we're so confused. We steadily deal with doubt and confusion. Father, we look to the mountain and the storm and the crisis. Sometimes we cower back and shy away. But Lord, you've promised that you would pour out your Spirit and that you would lead into all truth. Father, I pray for those this morning that need all truth. Father, those that are waiting for your voice to speak because they need to hear. Father, I pray that you would fulfill your promise, fulfill your word. In this place, Lord, we're asking a fresh baptism. Lord, we don't want a counterfeit Pentecost. We want the real thing where you give and it empowers and it changes. Oh God, we're looking for the powerful, glorious church to arise. Father, we're looking for the salvations to take place. We're believing you, Father. You said, and I, Jesus, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Lord, we're believing you for a drawing. We exalt you, Father. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way among us. Oh, be poured out upon us. Dwell with us and be in us, oh God, according to your promise. Raise up this church, this generation, with an anointing for this hour. We ask it by faith in the majestic name, Jesus. Yeshua.